What does the Bible say about government? What do the scriptures teach about the role of government in our lives and in the world? What is the relationship between God and government? What kind of power do governing rulers actually have from God? And what are the limits of that power? What about the abuses of authority that we find in so many rulers today? What does the Bible teach about these questions? And what are some other aspects about the role of government that we find in the Bible? We're going to be looking at the Bible doctrine of government in this series of lessons. And we're going to begin today with an overview of some basic facts about government. Let us begin. Number one, it is a fact that men need governing. Men need government in their lives because men are sinful, because men can be cruel, and they are oftentimes mean. There will always be people in society who make a practice out of abusing and taking advantage of other people. So God never intended for this world to be ruled through anarchy, that is, with every man being a law to himself. That doesn't work. It is not good for society for man to be without law and order and for man to be without government. The book of Judges ends with this statement in Judges 21, verse 25, that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, when you have every man doing what is right in his own eyes, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have danger. And that is exactly what we read about in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, you have one of the darkest periods in the entire history of the people of Israel. And it is absolutely no coincidence that anarchy was common in that age. Men need governing, and God does not want anarchy. That's why God gave us civil government, because people need governing, because people do not act the way that they should. James Madison once said, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary." There's a great deal of truth in what he said. If men always did what they were supposed to do, then they wouldn't need governing. But most people don't. That's why we need government in place. That's why we need some kind of order and some kind of structure in society. James Madison was just being honest about human nature. And Paul alluded to this in principle when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now, many of the statesmen and the preachers back in the 1800s were far more honest and open about this than people are today. Let me take you back to 1832. I'm reading from Noah Webster in 1832. He said, "The scriptures were intended by God to be the guide of human reason. The creator of man established the moral order of the universe. Knowing that human reason, left without a divine guide or rule of action, would fill the world with disorder, crime, and misery. A great portion of mankind, ignorant of this guide or rejecting its authority, have verified the fact. And the history of 3,000 years is a tissue of proof that human reason, left to itself, can neither preserve morals nor give duration to a free government. Human reason never has been, and unquestionably never will be, a match for ambition, selfishness, and other evil passions of man. On the other hand, opposed to the force of these passions, constitution and laws are generally found to be mere cobwebs and gossamer. The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. In my view," this is Noah Webster in 1832, "in my view, there are two powers only which are sufficient to control men and secure the rights of individuals and a peaceable administration. These are the combined force of religion and law and the force or fear of the bayonet." So Webster said, ideally, you need two things to control, that is, to govern men. Number one, you need the Bible in the hearts of people to restrain them. But he said that doesn't always work. And so he said on the outside, you need law and order. You need human government, and you need force, the bayonet, as he calls it, to do that and to preserve peace in society. Robert Winthrop, a preacher in the 1800s, said in Boston in 1852 these words, "All societies of men must be governed in some way or other. The less they may have of stringent state government, the more they must have of individual self-government. The less they rely on public law or physical force, the more they must rely on private moral restraint. Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled, either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Men need governing." Now, the second point that I want to notice is the fact that government is from God. Now, I'm talking about the institution of government. I'm talking about the principle of government itself. I'm not talking about the abuses of government, because we will get to that later. In Romans 13, verse 1, we have a direct passage of Scripture on the question, where does government come from? In Romans 13, verse 1, Paul said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, the word power there means authorities. And he's talking about government authority. He's not talking about the authority of angels. He's not talking about church authority. He's talking about civil government, because as you go down through this section, you'll find that he talks about rulers and that he also talks about paying taxes. So there's no question about it. He's talking about civil government here. And he says that the powers that be, that is civil government, is ordained of God. The word ordained means appointed. So the authority of government is divinely appointed. It is appointed by God. Now, what happens so many times as people read these verses is that their mind automatically goes to abuses of government and corruption in government, and they fail to see the basic point that we're making. Now, again, we will talk about abuses of power and corruption in government, but we have to lay the foundation first. We have to see what the rule is according to God's word before we look at the exceptions. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, the book of Genesis chapter 9, because this marks the beginning of God's recorded words about government. Genesis 9, verse 6, "These words were said on the occasion of Noah and his family, setting foot outside of the ark after the flood." In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood," that is, whoever murders a man, "by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Now, what does this passage tell us about civil government? How does this passage teach us anything about the role of government? Well, it says that whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So men were to take the man who was guilty of murder, and they were to bring him to justice, Genesis 9, verse 6. By man, he was to be captured, he was to be arrested, and he was to be brought before men and put to death. Now, that is civil government. That is government in action. God says, if you kill a man, then men will kill you. Not by some kind of vigilante squad, not by a mob attack, not by secret assassins, but by men taking that individual who was guilty of murder and bringing him to justice. So Genesis 9, verse 6, then, is the first recorded specific passage that deals with the subject of civil government. Now, I realize that there are some who say that government is from Satan and not from God, but this is not what the Bible teaches. Remember, in Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible says that government is ordained by God. Government is appointed by God. In Luke chapter 4, we have a passage that is sometimes misused and misinterpreted and misapplied on the subject of civil government. let's turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 5. And Luke chapter 4, you have the temptations of Jesus. And in this particular temptation, we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, that the devil, taking him, that is taking Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now there are some, and there are some religious groups, that misinterpret and misapply this passage, especially what we find in verse 6, because they claim that government is of the devil because of what is said in verse 6, that the devil said, all this power, the power of all these nations is mine, and the glory of them is mine because it's all delivered to me. So Satan is saying that he has the governments of the world in his hands, that they belong to him. But that doesn't mean that government came from God, that the right use and the right principle of government is something that is of the devil, because we've already seen in Romans 13, verse 1, that the Bible says that government is appointed by God. Now, we have to remember a basic rule of interpreting the Bible here, and that is we must ask the question, who is speaking in Luke chapter 4, verse 6? Is this God speaking? Is this God talking about the role of government? No. This is the devil talking. And what do we know about the devil? The devil is a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44 says that he is a liar and the father of it. So you can't quote the words of a liar to teach something as being true. And we know that the devil has a lot of government rulers in his hands. We know that the devil has a lot of people in his power because they've submitted to it, because they want to do the will of the devil instead of the will of God. But this passage has nothing to do with the origin of civil government. It has nothing to say about the rightful use of civil government, and it certainly does not mean that the very idea, that the very concept of government itself originated with Satan. And this, sadly, is why you have at least one religious group that teaches the members of that group not even to salute the flag, not to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or anything like that. It's because they have the view of government itself, no matter what government you're talking about. They have the view that government, any government, is from Satan himself and not from God. And we find in Romans 13, verse 1, that this absolutely cannot be the case. The powers that be are ordained of God. Romans 13, verse 1. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, you have the words of the devil. So we have to start as a beginning point with Romans 13, verse 1, if we're going to understand the Bible doctrine of government, and especially what the Bible says about government in the New Testament age.